Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Good morning, Liv.
I'd like you all to meet Tom. Tom Selleck. He's my mustache.
Welcome to another edition of Thunderdome!
This is the Extra Hot Great Podcast, episode for the week of... I am Cookie Duster David T. Cole, and I'm here with Flavor Saver Sarah D. Bunting,
Dinner and a Show,
and Soup Strainer Tara Ariano.
Mustache rides are free. Hello. Welcome to another week of Extra Hot Great. A very special episode, Mustache Dome. Mm-hmm. That's right. The usual Thunderdome rules will apply. Dave will specify these rules if and when necessary, but here is how we gathered 27 mustachioed participants in Mustache Dome. I originally thought that we would do this as an extra, extra hot great, best TV mustaches, best TV facial hair, but then the list mustasticized to seriously like almost 100. Mm. So this will be back. If you're not hearing your favorite mustache, rest assured, we probably thought of it. It's on a master list. This feature will return, but in the meantime, we each submitted 9 mustachioed characters from television with the following criteria. Only one character per show across all entries, and Magnum PI obviously was reserved for Dave, Keith Hernandez for myself. Mm-hmm. So, it's going to tickle a little bit, but let's enter Mustache Dome.
All right. Let us start off with our first of 9 first round matches. And as we introduce whoever threw him into the pool, we'll give a little background just in case you're not familiar. First up is Ron Swanson from Parks and Recreation. I'm going to guess most of you know who Ron Swanson is. He is the no-nonsense civil servant in Pawnee, Indiana, with a big mustache. Joining him is BJ Honeycutt from MASH.
Yep. This is played by Mike Farrell. He really boiled my potatoes. The, I believe, second and better of Hawkeye's best friends on MASH.
And rounding out the first match is Liz Lemon from 30 Rock.
Yes. As you heard in the intro, if Liz Lemon, who is of Greek extraction, I believe, does not deal with her lip facial hair, it grows in 24 to 48 hours, I believe. So, yeah, she sometimes has a mustache if she is not totally on top of her personal grooming.
Ron Swanson, BJ Honeycutt, Liz Lemon is our first lineup. Tara, why don't you start us off here?
Okay. I just threw in Liz for fun / diversity. I forgot to say earlier, but I assume everyone knows she's played by Tina Fey. Her mustache is definitely visible when we see it, but it is faint. So I don't think it is the mighty mustache that we would hope to see in across all of these rounds. So I'm going to leave Liz out of it, although she is ruthless. She can be really mean. We certainly learned that when she went back for her high school reunion, that she had always thought she was bullied. She is, in fact, the bully. So Ron versus BJ. I mean, BJ is literally a soldier in a war. Presumably, he has had some combat training. But Ron Swanson is a libertarian. And I feel like that's the end of the conversation. Ron does not recognize man's laws and is going to do whatever it takes to survive Thunderdome. So as much as he turned into a sort of cuddly bear across the series, Ron Swanson, I believe, is our victor here in the Thunderdome.
Before we throw to Sarah, I do have some like house business to discuss about this endeavor.
Sure.
Okay.
And like, what are the ground rules here? Because this is Mustache Thunderdome.
Yes.
So are the mustaches leaping off the faces of our characters, and the mustaches themselves are the ones that are entering the Thunderdome to do battle? I believe that is the scenario in my mind anyways. Otherwise, it's just the characters. But I would say, again, this is in my mind. It's open to interpretation, but I think we do have to figure out the ground rules here before we make a decision on our first matchup.
Are the mustaches
then imbued with characteristics of their characters? Like, they have absorbed from being on their faces for so long, they have taken on traits of their personality. They have certain skill sets, such as like when Ron Swanson's mustache leaps off his face to do battle in the Thunderdome, he still knows all about woodworking.
Right. Well, this was Sarah's topic. Yeah.
Yes.
If I may, I think that it is a little simplistic to confine combat to the mustaches alone. So here is how I would explain it. I think that you are contemplating the characters, but the mustaches work in the same way that aggravating and mitigating factors work in sentencing. That if it seems like the characters are a mismatch, or you're sort of, it's very close in your mind as to who would prevail, you may then go to the mustache to break the tie. So I think that it's another factor, but it's not. You don't have little, you know, strips of fur marching around Thunderdome fighting, because otherwise it's much too simplistic, and we might as well go to the last round right now, where it's like Magnum, Trebek, and someone else.
Yeah.
All right.
So
I will honor.
This is my feeling.
That's good. This is your show. I feel like that'll work. All right.
Oh my God, Trebek's not even in here, as I see.
Not yet.
I will go next. To remind you, we're talking Swanson, Honeycutt, Lemon. So given the dictate by Sarah and how we're playing this out, Ron Swanson's kind of got that survivalist thing going. He knows how to live in the woods. He can shoot a deer and live off it for a month. So I feel like he's comfortable with ending the lives of things when he needs to live. And BJ Honeycutt, although he was in the army, you know, you expect him to have basic training in the ways of war. He is, of course, a surgeon, a medical doctor, and he's on the other side of it. He's repairing people's problems. And then Liz Lemon, although she can be mean-spirited and loves rules and laws, as we saw in her hot dog vendor introduction to the series, this feels like a Ron Swanson gimme. That he has the skill set and sort of the attitude of me first that will take him into the second round. Sarah?
I agree for all the reasons stated. I think there is an argument to be made, although I will not be making it, that BJ Honeycutt has medical knowledge and is probably one of those guys who could like secretly kill you with a chop to the larynx or whatever. But Ron Swanson also seems like he could do that. Let's face it. Here is where, if there were a tie, it would be broken for me. Swanson's mustache is, for me, the more luxuriant. And the show, basically, in making Sam Elliott's character his opposite number in another town, right, of Appleton or something like that. I feel like this is one of the five I've seen. Episodes I've seen, like that is the mustache to end all mustaches, and I'm considering adding it to the list for next time because Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
So I feel like because the show acknowledged that Swanson's mustache had an opposite number as iconic as Sam Elliott's, that is basically the end. of the discussion, but mainly it's because see previous comments about Swanson not respecting man's laws. So Ron Swanson for me too.
To set of interest, Tara, would you all, what would you think is the best mustache here?
Of these three?
Yes.
I agree. Ron's is very luxuriant, but I do think BJ's has a certain coquettishness. It's more friendly. You know, he's also a smilier character overall.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think Ron's is more intimidating, but BJ's is more fun.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to round two. Oh. It is Ignacio Suarez from Ugly Betty.
This is the father of our titular Betty, played by Tony Plana.
A post 1981 Mike Brady. Explain that, please, Sarah.
Mm-hmm. That is the late Robert Reed. I thought he got the mustache on board starting with the variety show, but it was actually the Brady Girls Get Married, followed by the Brady Brides, and in all the subsequent reunions up until his death, he had a low rider on his lip.
And Waldorf from The Muppet Show.
The one with the mustache.
Yes.
In the balcony.
Yeah. All right. Sarah, you're first.
Oh, crap. Okay. So, you know, Mike Brady's mustache, I feel like Robert Reed was trying desperately to communicate with us behind a cultural closet door via certain tonsorial and facial hair decisions, mm-hmm. and also career decisions for a very long time. I think the mustache was probably part of that. The mustache made the Brady's dad look like my dad, mm-hmm. who had naturally curly hair. And so there were some pictures where it was like, so it's like Robert Reed and Elliot Gould had a kid who knows about muni bonds. Anyway. That was sort of my childhood in a nutshell, I suppose. But we're talking about fighting. Mike Brady is not a fighty guy. He's an architect.
Yep.
He could maybe generate enough wind with a bell bottom to knock someone over and accidentally concuss them, buy himself some time. Maybe the rolled up plans in a Strudy tube he could beat someone with. Waldorf is a Muppet, but let's assume that he is able to leave the balcony and fight. Waldorf is old and small, but Waldorf is, I think, absolutely the meanest of these three, yeah. by a significant margin.
Don't you think, though, it's just headcanon, but doesn't Waldorf strike you the kind of guy that he was like a really fun guy in his youth, and then he had to go to war and he lost all his buddies, and that's why he's this way now? So he has like experience in killing people.
Wow.
Doesn't that seem like a plausible backstory? In my headcanon, those two guys are miserable veterans.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I had never thought about
PTSD.
It. I have to admit.
No, I hadn't either.
Especially when you consider when the Muppet Show was on air. It makes chronological sense.
Yes. You're right.
It could have been in the shit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. The World War II shit.
This one is very difficult. I think that Waldorf does get stepped on, albeit perhaps accidentally, and eliminated early in the fight. And then it's Ignacio versus Mike Brady, and not knowing that much about Ignacio, I think he probably wins, because I think Mike Brady is probably like, let's sit down on a sofa, cheated towards the camera, and learn a very important lesson about why fighting is bad. And Ignacio's like, fuck off, and stabs him in the perm. And that's it.
What is his temperament on Ugly Betty, Tara?
He's a nice dad.
Yeah, okay.
Am I next?
Why don't you go next, since you can fill in the blanks on that one?
Well, here's the thing about Ignacio, and he was my submission, of course, as I introduced him. But if this was Tony Plana's character on the most recent season of The Good Fight, no contest, because that guy is real ruthless and terrible.
Sure.
And, you know, head of a drug cartel, he's in charge. Ignacio is
and
nice.
And a yogurt empire.
Yogurt empire is what, that's right. He's nice, but also for a lot of the series, he is also an undocumented immigrant. So the challenge here would be, even if he survives, it's going to be a Pyrrhic victory, because as soon as he leaves Thunderdome, he's getting arrested. Mm. So I think Ignacio is not going to fight as hard as he might, because of fear for the blowback to his family. So then it comes down to Mike versus Waldorf.
Yep.
And Yeah. Shit. I think Sarah's right. Even though Waldorf is a Muppet, if we assume he has the human powers of someone, as if he were human, Mike is too even-tempered and old-style sitcom dad-y, where he's very neutered, and he just doesn't have a lot of fight in him as far as we've seen. Waldorf does not care who he offends. Presumably, he also doesn't care who he kills. So, as improbable as this seems, yeah, Waldorf for the win in this round. Crazy.
I do agree with your end assessment. I think there's a couple factors you're missing, which is Statler is up on the scaffolding yelling insults at all of Waldorf's foes.
Okay. Right, it's like his tag team buddy.
He's
sure.
The cut man. Got it.
Yeah, the cut man is sort of like whatever the negative of hype is. You know, he's like the anti-hype man. He's right. Like putting down the other guys all the time. Mm-hmm. And plus, you know, given the new canon for Waldorf, where he actually has combat experience in addition to being just really mean,
help BJ Honeycutt, but it helps Waldorf.
Well, BJ Honeycutt's a surgeon. He's on the repair side. Waldorf is the guy sending patients to him.
Yeah,
got it.
Now, about the mustaches, just because I kind of want to give like play to the mustaches.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Mike Brady's, in my mind, Mike Brady has the fullness of like a peak Trebek mustache we're talking about, right? It's that kind of like bratwurst on the lip kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
But because I can't picture Mike Brady hair as anything but that perm he had that for a while.
Yeah,
that I feel like in my mind the mustache is now like this big pubis kind of mustache, which it isn't, but I can't get that out of my head.
Right.
So even though I feel like he has the fullest natural mustache of these three, I can't get that vision of it out of my head. So I'm going to give the mustache war here to Waldorf.
Yeah, for sure. Waldorf has the best mustache of this round also. Yeah.
Mustache! Match three. And round one, Keith Hernandez.
I am not Keith Hernandez, but Keith Hernandez, like, I guess, snuck in here because he was famously on some Seinfeld episodes, but he's also an SNY broadcaster for the Metropolitan Baseball Club to this day.
Stottlemyre from Monk.
That's Ted Levine's Captain Stottlemyre on Monk. Ted Levine always rocking a pretty good mustache. Mm-hmm. Almost. His other most famous role, of course. Not so much with that.
Nope.
And Dr. Peter Benton from ER.
Oh my gosh, these are all me. Peter Benton, the curt surgeon who, when he actually expresses an emotion, it's that much more meaningful, on ER, played by Eric Bissell.
All right, it is my turn to go first. Right off the bat, I think Keith Hernandez has the mustache game here. I feel like he's got... Ooh, Tara's making a face. Thoughts?
Proceed.
Quick thoughts?
No quick thoughts. I'll save it for when it's my turn.
Okay. I just feel like baseball players just have this like this weird like DNA advantage when it comes to mustaches. And I feel like it's partly, I don't know what it is about, especially like players of that era too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the further back you go, the mightier the baseball mustache is.
It's true.
Like way back to like, you know, the 19 teens where their mustaches went down to their toes and they were still playing baseball. So I feel like there's something in the water with baseball and mustaches that Keith Hernandez is tapping into. Stottlemyre, Ted Levine, and Peter Benton, yeah, he's got a consistently solid mustache, I will say. But I don't think it is as boisterous as Hernandez. Now, getting to the Thunderdome part of this, Keith Hernandez, good with bats, good with melee weapons. So he's got a mighty swing. He's probably the fastest swinger. So if he could connect a bat or like a mace or one of those type of bludgeon-y weapons that they'll have in Thunderdome, I think he's going to do significant damage right off the bat and probably incapacitate or kill them right away. Peter Benton, I think his move is from the ER credits where he gets you on the ground and he does that.
The fist bump.
Sort of like almost like an anime finisher, if you think about it that way.
Yeah.
My favorite part of the ER credits, by the way. It is so, what is he doing? And I really don't know too much about Stottlemyre because I've never watched Monk. So you just want to like give a quick Stottlemyre nutshell, Sarah?
He just mostly rolls his eyes at Monk and at Randy, there's some weird like interconnections here. Randy is like this just doofusy character who's always pointing out obvious things that Monk already said, and stepping in crime scenes and whatnot. In the series finale, he marries one of Monk's assistants and becomes the police chief of Summit, New Jersey. Filmed on location.
Look at that. Okay.
Also, the Mets, when Keith was with them, had a pitching coach named Mel Stottlemyer.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I feel like Benton is usually kind of outwardly cool as a cucumber, but he obviously has a lot of turmoil building inside. So if that can bubble up at the right time in Thunderdome, I feel like he can explode like, you know, like an anime explosion of whenever he gets thrown back and then it's like Benton. Yeah. And Keith Hernandez, I feel like he doesn't have that same potential do or die energy that Benton has. So in this match, I think I'm going Benton, Thunderdome, Hernandez mustache.
Interesting.
So if it comes down to it.
Okay.
Tara.
The reason I made a face when you were talking about Stottlemyre is that I have seen his picture and that mustache is, it's rich and brushy.
Yeah, it is not a joke.
It's walrus-y?
The only, like it's that? The only kind real...
of. Yeah,
hair
kind
of Ted Levine's. Ted Levine is like, just let him be bald because it's all right here. And it's fabulous.
Yeah. But in terms of this matchup, okay, Stottlemyre is a cop, but he's a captain, right? Like he is. Yeah.
And it's basically a comedy, this show. So
Yeah.
So Sorry. He's definitely got, I just looked up Stottlemyre.
He's got
Wild West Sheriff mustache.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think, you know, he doesn't have like the chaos cop energy that you could say. He's like a comfortable, you know, established cop. He's not
House
going
mouse.
To be doing anything crazy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I take Dave's point about Peter Benton, and I agree that moment of the ER credits is like one of the only things I even remember from it. But I think the reason that Keith is going to win this round is not just his facility with a bat, which, yes, and I presume he also had to do some running in his time, so he's also going to be fast and possibly be able to climb in case he ever had to, like, climb over into bleachers or whatever. I don't know baseball. I think everyone knows that. But he also is, like, his whole career was in a competitive setting, so he's got the eye of the tiger in a way that the other two probably don't. So for mustache, Stottlemyre, for the actual win, Keith. Sarah.
I think Stottlemyre is out. Ted Levine, different argument. But and that mustache is glorious. But I still don't think it's the winner because I don't think it's nearly as iconic as Keith's for Mets and sports fans.
Sure.
Maybe Peter Benton, who is known for being cool under pressure, especially in life or death environments, could handle himself capably. But Keith was known for bat speed. Keith also did the crossword in pen. So he has like, you know, like writing implements with him with which to stab.
Sure.
Keith's record climbing lately has not been the best. He recently famously broke like half his foot because he was climbing on his hot tub for reasons that have still not been discussed to my satisfaction.
How do you climb a hot tub?
I think that's Sarah's point.
There was something, it was something involving a wasp's nest and a hot tub. And basically his co-hosts were like, you are lying. There was a hooker. We're not going to say anything else. Like, I mean, it's the whole thing is just turned into this like glorious fanfic. Anyway. So post playing career, like he's in his mid 60s now, but, he still is very petty, vengeful, and I think has an extremely high opinion of himself that will be helpful. Also, one of his feet is already broken and is in like one of those boots, so Benton can't get to it. So he has like a, you know, the opposite of an Achilles heel. But this mustache is extremely famous. He had it. He shaved it for charity. It was gone for like a year. Seriously, there were like multiple Twitter accounts that still exist, Tumblr accounts that still exist, Keith Hernandez's mustache, the Keith Hernandez mustache grieving page. Like, this is an iconic mustache. Mm-hmm. I have many pictures of it in my home. I think he wins. And now that he stopped doing the cover the gray in the mustache. It's a very nice gray. It's very even and beautiful. And so I think he wins on all the merits. I think he is meaner and better able to beat someone to death. And he's a left-hander. Y'all are a little, like, you got a little shot of crazy that's going to help you, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, Keith on all counts.
Love it.
All right.
And he made out with Elaine. Come on.
Right.
Keith takes the battle and best mustache.
Mm-hmm.
Mustache. All right. Round four. Carl Weathers as Carl Weathers from Arrested Development.
Well, the thing about Carl in this round is now you got a stew going. Carl Weathers played a version of himself on Arrested Development. He was like he was an acting coach for Tobias, I believe. He was like helping him with his career. This is really, you know, this is kind of cheating to even put him in here. But he's got a great mustache in the Rocky movies and in life. And I love him. Carl Weathers.
Second up is Pornstache from Orange is the New Black. I mean, his name is Pornstache. I felt like he needed to be included just because he has part of mustache in his name. So we have to investigate what that's all about and how that would play into things. He is the sort of jerky corrections officer from Orange is the New Black.
Yep.
And finally, Cliff Clavin from Cheers.
Probably needs no introduction, but if he did, he'd be happy to handle it at length. This is the postal carrier on Cheers with the white socks and the seemingly inexhaustible fount of factoids about every possible subject. He's basically Gorin's uncle.
Interested to see how that plays into things. Tara, you were first.
Okay. Pornstache versus Cliff versus Carl. You know, how do we include Cliff in this? Cliff is at the start of the series, I believe, in his early 30s, which seems preposterous because he looks
amazing.
So old.
I know.
The character, not necessarily the actor, John Ratzenberger, but the thing that really strikes you when you watch Cheers now, which Dave and I recently did, and I believe Sarah is still doing at the moment, is
still doing it.
This is an incel character before we had a word for that. He is, he's got a lot of mommy issues. He's just got a lot of issues. And, you know, is that going to fuel a rage that's going to help him in Thunderdome? So he got a lot of frustration that he needs to work out on his opponents, perhaps.
Did his frustration ever manifest in Cheers, though? I feel like it was always inert.
Yeah, I think sometimes he would explode, but not that often. He's pretty even-tempered as far as
he was more of a crier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Regardless, is that rage going to be enough when he's facing off against Carl Pornstache?
Action Jackson?
That's the thing. I mean,
return to sender.
Yeah. Pornstache has a lot of sadism, which I think is going to give him... you know, that's going to advantage him in Thunderdome. And Carl Weathers is Apollo Creed, you know, in another context.
When he was in Predator, his arm got shot off and he was still firing the gun with his other arm.
Yeah.
Dude's badass.
Yeah, I think it's got to be Carl. And I think mustache wise as well, as brushy and walrusy as Cliff's is. I mean, Carl's is just it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. So Carl for the win.
Sarah.
Cliff is out immediately. Cliff slips on, like, Susan and Seinfeld, like, slips on an envelope or something and is out immediately.
The only possible entry to Cliff Clavin's maybe victory would be the, like, going postal factor, but he doesn't have that in his DNA.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And he does not have time to bore anyone or annoy anyone to death, which, right. I mean, you can't underestimate that factor, but I just think he takes a long time to tell stories, which is a problem.
Yeah.
He's also been bested by Carla physically and verbally in pretty much every episode, she is mighty, but she is wee. I think it's closer between Pornstache and Carl Weathers than you might think. Pablo Schreiber is real tall.
He is.
He was on a boxing show. Mm-hmm. He also played a serial killer who tortured Liv Benson. And Schreiber men have good, dense facial hair, and his character's name is Pornstache. But it's still Carl fucking Weathers.
It is.
Enough said.
Yeah.
So, like I said, attention must be paid to Pablo. But Carl Weathers on both counts for me.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree. I see your point about Pornstache, you know, perhaps being a little closer fight you also have to consider a lot of the examples we're giving about Carl Weathers is much younger than he was in Arrested Development. He's sort of like, you know, he's a senior in Arrested Development. Mm-hmm. I still think he's a strong guy, but he's not quite the, you know, Action Jackson specimen that he once was.
Yeah.
So yes to Carl Weathers to win this Thunderdome. Absolutely yes to his mustache as well. The porn stash is interesting, but it is the grossest of mustaches.
Oh yeah. He's also a rapist, so we don't want him to advance.
Yeah. So on both counts, it's Carl Weathers in round four.
Mustache!
Round five.
Oh,
Thomas Magnum from Magnum P.I.
Well, yep.
You know him, Tom Selleck. He is like the go-to mustache reference in pop culture.
Mustache can also come back as a Blue Bloods. Yeah. I'm just saying.
That's true.
So, you know, this is 80s Selleck mustache we're talking about because it is the original Magnum P.I. Joining him is Jamie Heineman. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. I think so. From Mythbusters, the non-Adam, non-redhead one with the beret and the absolutely massive, has its own Starbucks mustache.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that is so big, it might be like another entity as well.
It actually is the physical mustache dome in which all of this takes place, which he also built because he's an engineer.
He stress tested the dome after it was built. Captain Dave from LA to Vegas.
Oh, Captain Dave. This is one of the most beloved by me and probably least known characters on this list, played by Dylan McDermott in the one season Fox sitcom LA to Vegas that I still enjoy very fondly. It's a series about a shuttle, an airline shuttle that goes between the two titular cities, and he is the very full of himself pilot of that flight.
Thomas Magnum, Jamie from Mythbusters, Captain Dave, LA to Vegas. Sarah, you're up first.
I mean, I'll keep this short. bless Dylan McDermott's heart. The first shot that we saw of him with that mustache, I was like, that is an El Scorchio.
Oh,
excellent
yeah.
choice.
El Scorchio.
Love it. But I think Captain Dave is like usually drunk and is just going to be run over literally by possibly his own plane, but definitely by one of these other two. So I think he's probably out. Not least because he's wearing a polyester uniform that doesn't offer nearly the flexibility and ease of movement that a tiny pair of dolphin shorts does on Thomas Magnum. Jamie Heineman is not to be trifled with. Like, this person built a like rocket and put it on a car and put his co-host in it and drove it in the desert. Like, this guy, if he doesn't have the weapons in Thunderdome, he will be able to make them in the style of MacGyver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think he's also a very gentle engineering soft-spoken soul who often can't be understood because he is so soft-spoken that the sound gets trapped in his massive mustache. But when you're talking about TV mustaches, Magnum is an icon. Magnum, like, you can just draw the mustache. Actually, my brother has this shirt that is like famous mustaches, and it's only the outlines of the mustache.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like a key on the back, and you have to guess. And no one ever guesses any correctly except Magnum.
Yep.
As for fighting, though, I feel like none of these guys is particularly fighty. I feel like they might all just have some cocktails or like wait for Jamie Heineman to finish making a new kind of alcohol. But I think in the end, Magnum is the craftiest. He probably knows more about how to operate a jet ski. And again, if it comes down to high kicking, Magnum. That's it. I will give the mustache this round to Jamie. It's like a weeping willow.
Yeah, it's rich.
It is very rich. It is very walrusy. He accessorizes it very well. Not everyone would pair a beret with that, but he's not interested in your opinion, which may be why he comes close to prevailing. But yeah, I just think Captain Dave like trips and, you know, or chokes on his own vomit or something and he's out. And then it's down to these other two. And Jamie Heineman is too busy building some kind of like Rube Goldberg, like one of those fists on a spring from a cartoon. And Magnum's like, well, I'm just going to like strangle you with my shorts or a tube sock. I don't know what's going to happen. I think it's going to be Magnum.
Yeah.
I'll go next. I'm giving Magnum both. I feel like he has the strongest, most iconic mustache. I feel like Jamie's mustache, although it is big and huge, is also sort of like freestyle. And I like the, you know, the care that goes into Thomas Magnum's mustache. And don't forget, Thomas Magnum is Navy vet.
Right.
Vietnam vet.
Yep.
True.
Just straight up killed a dude in Do You See the Sunrise that we talked about on the main podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure did.
The whole Vietnam flashback. So when it comes to it, he'll shoot a dude. So I feel like even though day to day when we watch Thomas Magnum do his private investigative stuff, he's not shooting a lot of people, but Thunderdome do or die.
It has happened. Yeah.
He makes it happen. So I'm going both there. Tara.
Agree.
I agree. I don't think Captain Dave is drunk so much, but he is definitely an idiot. Yeah. And so he's not going to have the strategic advantage over either of these guys. I do take the point that Jamie is going to be more perhaps resourceful in terms of being able to construct a weapon. But as Sarah also said, he's going to be distracted with his wanting to win in terms of the engineering. He's not going to necessarily have the eye of the tiger that's needed for this situation. And Thomas, like to Dave's point, not only is he a combat veteran and, you know, has to do what he has to do in terms of his job as a private investigator, like, it's kind of all bets are off when you're a PI. You know, you get that license and
that's
it's like,
true.
Whatever needs to happen for you to make that commission, you're going to do it. And if it's a matter of, you know, nimbleness, as Sarah also said, he's got them gams out. He's going to be able to climb wherever he needs to without any kind of drag.
Quad power, baby.
That's right. So I think Thomas for the win in terms of combat. In terms of the mustache, I'm going to give it to him as well, even though I do think Jamie has most mustache.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think Thomas has best mustache. Yeah.
And there's also like dread danger with Jamie's mustache that it's not for everyone.
Also, Thomas Magnum has the benefit of always wearing his Detroit Tigers cap. So the sun won't get into his eyes if it's a sunny day here at Thunderdome.
Oh, yeah. And is he canonically from Detroit? Because that automatically makes a mofo tough.
Good question.
Mustache!
Next up, we've got Ron Butterfield of The West Wing.
This is the Secret Service agent who famously at the end of the first season, beginning of the second season, realizes that President Bartlett is bleeding and, you know, screams out the code to screech into the hospital. And then Mrs. Teasley picks up the bat phone. And it's still so exciting to me. Yes, he is a Secret Service agent in the Bartlett White House.
Flashback Jimmy James from News Radio.
This is only in one episode. I believe it's the season 3 premiere. We talked about it when Bobby Krutt was on the first time. It was his canon presentation. Jimmy's running for president, and there's a picture he definitely doesn't want to get out. And then Beth unknowingly has it blown up for his campaign announcement. And it's like him from the 70s with an absolute banger of a mustache.
Think
like,
Citizen Kane.
True. Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Oh, God, so good.
Played by Stephen Root, if I didn't already say that.
Yeah. And apologies in advance, we have Nick Wazisco from Show Me a Hero on HBO.
Yeah, this was an underseen miniseries. Please, if you haven't already watched it, do, because they burned it off 2 episodes at a time a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And it's so, so good, based on true events surrounding political events in the late 70s, early 80s, I believe, in Yonkers. But this is the lead character played by Oscar Isaac.
I am first. Ron Butterfield, like his mustache. Flashback Jimmy James, love his mustache.
Yep.
And Nick, meh, his mustache is okay. But they're into Thunderdome. Do or die. Jimmy James, I don't see him doing too well when it comes to combat. He's been a rich man for a long time. He is a big man. He's been enjoying life, and God bless him for doing so. But I don't think he's got it when it comes to
I think he's also a Vietnam vet, though. Come to think of it.
Oh, okay. Ron Butterfield, always at the ready. We were talking about always being on in our other Thunderdome with Susie, always being on. I feel like he is always on because he always has to be because he's Secret Service. You never know when somebody's going to come for the president.
That's right.
And Nick, whatever. He's a lawyer, right?
He's a politician.
Oh, he's a politician.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, can he legislate himself out of the Thunderdome? Probably not. Probably not enough time. Did he, like, get the votes ahead of
time? He's a New York State politician.
Yeah, he's corrupt. That's sort of
don't,
what the,
yeah, don't what assume about. There's no bodies yeah. dropped.
I feel like I could go into detail, but for this one, it's pretty obvious for me that it's Ron Butterfield for the tactical victory in Thunderdome, but it is definitely flashback Jimmy James for my favorite mustache.
Yeah.
Tar.
Nick, I mean, I don't want to bring it down, but he is also, you know, this is a true story, and he died by suicide during some legal problems. So, you know, when it comes down to it, he might not have the will to fight his way out the way others may.
Why did you put a sad story? Why did you
no,
put
it? No, I'm sorry. Because of the mustache. The mustache is good.
So he could guilt the other two into killing each other, and then he wins.
Okay. Nick is not a factor. Let's move on. So then it becomes down to Ron versus Jimmy. And Jimmy certainly is ruthless in business.
Right.
But, you know, Ron's entire job is eliminating threats.
Yeah.
Like, this is what he's trained to do. Obviously on behalf of the president, but I assume when it, you know, if it comes down to it in this situation, he would do it on his own behalf. No question. So I agree with Dave. Ron for the win in combat. Jimmy, best mustache.
Jimmy James has other people do his work for
him.
Like the first episode of News Radio, he got Dave Foley, the new hire, to fire the guy he was replacing, unbeknownst to Dave Nelson, his character.
Yep.
So, yeah, agreed. Sarah.
I think that despite IRL demonstrated incompetence of the Secret Service, and speaking of like guys who are going to roll in there drunk still, that is not what we're talking about here. We are talking about the Sorkin idealized version of the Secret Service and Butterfield and that whiskey accent, I think are just going to be, you know, calm, cool, collected, and prepared to, as Tara said, eliminate threats to president or self. He will not consider Jimmy James an authority figure whom he has to protect. I think Jimmy James might get a little further with, like, if he and Nick face off, I think his being an old rich guy confidence would carry him for a while. And Nick is not, like, a beefy person. And that flashback mustache, my God, what a beaut.
Yeah.
So that mustache wins, but I think Butterfield just is like, it slashes his Achilles, and then when he goes down, snaps his neck. So, and it doesn't take long. Butterfield for the win, James for the mustache.
I feel like the only avenue for Jimmy James' victory is if he in advance
buys
the Thunderdome and then rigged it to his advantage.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
that's a lot of advanced planning. And I think, to me, the Thunderdome is a kidnap in the dead of night, wake up in the Thunderdome kind of thing.
Yeah,
obviously. Mustache! It is match 7 of our first round. We are 2/3 of the way through. We have Duncan, a.k.a. Man-at-Arms from He-Man, Masters of the Universe.
Oh, okay.
If you need to paint a visual picture, imagine Ron Swanson with a green helmet. Basically, he is Ron Swanson before Ron Swanson was Ron Swanson.
Got it.
In appearance, he is the armorer, basically, of Castle Grayskull or the whatever the faction is.
Mm-hmm.
Hot damn! It's flashback Raymond Holt from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yep.
He had an absolutely fantastic mid to late 70s mustache, I want to say.
Yes.
That, you know, the one that sort of grows and is coming down somewhere growing into the goatee, but it's not a goatee.
Yep.
Fantastic. And Sam Sylvia from Glow. It's not a Fu Manchu, though.
Not quite.
Yeah.
It's more to the Carl Weathers.
Yeah. It's like to hear. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Sam Sylvia from Glow.
Yes. This is the Mark Maron character. He's the director of the women's wrestling production.
All right. Duncan Man-at-Arms, flashback, Raymond Holt, hot damn. Sam Sylvia, Tara, you're first.
Okay. I love Sam and I love Glow. This is well known, but Sam is not a fighter. He is really a signal characteristic for him is that he is kind of given up on life. And so he just does not have the fire that is required to survive Thunderdome. So then it comes down to Man-at-Arms versus Raymond Holt. You know, Raymond Holt at this, especially in flashback times, probably had a lot of anger coiled up because he was, you know, still closeted, having a tough time being discriminated against in the department in the NYPD. So that may serve him in a Thunderdome setting, but like, I mean, man at arms, he's a man at arms. Like his entire job is fighting. So I think probably Duncan is going to take this one. Mustache wise, though, giving it to Sam. Love that mustache.
Sarah.
I know that he's a fighter and that's all he does, but he's a cartoon. He exists in two dimensions.
Maybe that gives him advantages. Do cartoons bleed the same way that we do? Are they just like cartoon all the way through? There's no organs to really pierce?
Look, these other two dudes are not dumb. They bring an eraser and some whiteout. Okay. This motherfucker is done.
Turpentine?
And so is his mustache. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just like all you have to do is really erase one leg and then the rest of it takes care of itself.
She's not wrong.
I think Sam, I see Tara's point. I think Sam has a, I think Sam is like bitter enough and petty enough. And also is a like choreographer, basically.
That's true.
So if he thinks and, you know, in a, like in professional wrestling, like they're using props like chairs and shit. So I think he may have sort of osmosed enough information to hold his own against Holt, who, while I feel that Holt has the superior mustache, I also feel that Holt is like extremely laconic and has also been in a position of authority for long enough that he is the first one out.
Oh, point of order. This is flashback Raymond Holt. So
this is when he's young.
This is when he's
still
first
just
on the force.
Detective.
Yeah. Okay. This isn't modern day Holt.
Yeah, I still think he's too interior and not angry with previous points about stored up anger taken. I just don't think that's going to be a factor. So I think Sam probably rolls in with one of those giant novelty pencils, knocks Holt down with it, erases Duncan. And so Sam Sylvia wins. Holt has the best mustache, though, in my opinion.
I agree. Holt for the mustache. Absolutely. I don't buy your Sam Sylvia argument. I feel like he's just like the weasel here and he's just going to be like in the corner hoping that they stab each other somehow, but it's not happening. I also like to believe in Sarah's scenario, one of the weapons mounted on the wall, one of those giant lottery winner pencils, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what they use to erase
men at arms. No reason it couldn't be.
The question is, can you get the pencil close enough to like constantly be rubbing on man at arms before he stabs you? Other question is, do his cartoon swords hurt you, a flesh and blood human? Now, you opened the door to this argument, so settle in. Are they
equivalent damages?
Are there, in deference to man at arms' appearance in Thunderdome, cartoon weapons also on the walls? Can he pick up real swords?
Can he pick up real weapons?
Yes. Yeah. Perhaps not. This isn't Roger Rabbit. They haven't combined He-Man with live action.
Could he use the sword to cut the eraser off the pencil?
See?
Only if they provided him with cartoon swords is what I think we're learning here. Is that this is a cartoon? This is a cartoon character that lives in an only cartoon world. He is now in Thunderdome, which is in our world. He might not be able to interact all that well with objects from our world. Certainly, I think they'll have a different heft.
Why did you, Dave, add this character if we were going to
Because I love discussions like this, Sarah.
philosophy masters of the universe.
All right, Sam Sylvia's out. It's Raymond Holt and Duncan Man-at-Arms. Does the cartoon thing play into it? Let's say for a moment, yes, it does, and he is just sort of like a weaker entity because he is made out of ink somehow that is made manifest, and that Raymond Holt can dispense with him with water or a good eraser somehow or turpentine or Raymond Holt in advance kills his animator in the real world. Lots of avenues into Duncan's death. I am going to say, obviously, experience-wise, Duncan Man-at-Arms is a warrior. He is trained in melee combat. Raymond Holt, as a young cop, I think definitely had the skill set for him to hold his own in Thunderdome, more so than Sam Sylvia, but I don't think he wins against Duncan mano-a-mano. Mm-hmm. Unless cartoon physics comes into play. And does it? Sarah Bunting, here's the thing. You've convinced me that we have a separate set of rules for Duncan and that he will be easily dispatched in a very sort of, I am a human and I have control over pencil marks kind of way. So I'm giving the mustache and the win to Raymond Holt. So I think we have a three-way tie.
We do.
We do.
All right. Anybody want to volunteer?
Yes, I will. I will change to Raymond under those circumstances.
I also will.
If we have established that.
I just don't want this cartoon
to progress.
Nonsense to continue.
Yeah. If we assume that Sarah's right and you can erase him, then yes, of course. Duncan is out.
Why couldn't you? Honestly. Right. I mean, yes. It just makes sense.
Yes.
Well, let's not get into the fact that we got a Muppet on the
docket. No, not at all. That was a different round.
Match 8. Round 1. We have
puberty
from WKRP in Cincinnati, Johnny Fever, one of the DJs there. He's not Venus Flytrap. He's Dr. Fever.
Yep.
Played by Howard Hessman.
Yep.
He's got a big, messy mustache. We've got Steve Harvey, host of The Family Feud. Mm-hmm. He's also got a big cookie duster.
He does.
We've got Gabe Carter, actually another big cookie duster as well. Mm-hmm. Welcome back, Cotter. So Johnny Fever, Steve Harvey, Gabe Cotter. Sarah, you're first.
Oh, this is a tough one.
Good mustache game here.
It
and
really
similar
is.
Mustaches.
Yep.
Yes. Similar to 70s flavor of mustache. As far as combat in Thunderdome, I think Fever is a lover, not a fighter.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I think he's out. I think he's also real vain and is probably climbing around in the rafters looking for a mirror, which is then broken over his head by someone else. So, I mean, I suspect that if he really put his back into it, he could probably win. Gabe Cotter is not a tall guy. Gabe Cotter was also teaching in an urban education environment in the 1970s, like the whole credits of Welcome Back, Cotter. Just like, what a shithole. Why'd you come back here? And Steve Harvey is dealing with desperate families on a game show. We're trying to guess what other stupid family said at the mall. So Steve Harvey, I don't know. This is tough. Steve Harvey is physically more formidable. Mm-hmm. And also is used to screwing things up so he can recover quickly.
Right. That Miss America thing. Right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Gabe Cotter, I think, is used to sort of getting by with jokes and trying to, you know, with life lessons. And unless he rolls in a blackboard and gets the drop on Steve Harvey by beating him senseless with it, I think this is Steve Harvey as well. Steve Harvey is fixing to do his own judge show and has one of those Seacrests who sleeps 90 minutes a night and does a million things. Mm-hmm. And one of those things could be taking Krav Maga lessons. We just don't know. I do know he's a foot taller than Gabe Cotter and could fit Gabe Cotter into one of his pant legs.
Yeah.
He's like the Bobby Parisi of game shows. Mm. Don't ask. So I think it is Harvey. Mustache wise, this is very difficult, but I think Johnny Fever's edges everyone else's out just because it's so much of a part of his brand.
Yeah.
In the show and part of Hessman's brand, so on and so forth. So Harvey for the dome. Fever for the stash.
Okay. This Thunderdome battle, of course, is taking place, as you listen to this, probably in the year 2021. Maybe 2022. We'll see. But that's the timeline. Steve Harvey, after kissing all of the family members of Family Feud, has contracted COVID-19. He has come into Thunderdome very sick, weak, weary. His muscles are aching. He's not dying from COVID, but he's got a bad. He was vaccinated, but he still caught it. And now he's basically got a really bad kind of flu symptoms.
I don't think he kisses people. I think that was just a Dawson thing. I don't think he gives kisses, but he certainly is exposed to a lot of strangers. So,
okay.
And there's a lot of celebratory hugging.
Yep.
And
yes.
Occasionally he puts his arm avuncularly on the shoulder of someone who appears to have had a traumatic brain injury during Fast Money.
If not Dawson-esque slobbers, then certainly close contact. I
For
think we
sure.
can agree.
Particles are being exchanged. Absolutely.
So he has caught COVID-19. He's got it after his vaccination. So he's just basically got a really fucking bad week of feeling like shit.
Yeah.
If you've had the second jab and you got, you know it. You know how he feels, but even worse. Mm-hmm. So he's coming into a disadvantage. Johnny Fever has come in very down because rock and roll is dead. It's all rap and dance music now. And what the fuck does he care about anything anymore? He can't find a job anywhere. It's all streaming. He can't DJ anywhere. If it's on the radio, it's just a computer programming it. Everything is terrible. So they're both either sick or just don't give a shit. So Gabe Cotter, even though he's not a physical specimen, just kind of wins because everybody else is either too weak or have given up. Mustache to Johnny Fever.
Okay. The thing about Steve Harvey that neither of you said is that Steve Harvey, in addition to being a Ryan Seacrest, does everything all the time guy, he's also a don't look at me guy. He famously had that instructions for people that work on his shows that were
That's
like,
right.
don't come into my, yeah, he's one of those. So I think the thing that is going to disadvantage him in Thunderdome, although he does, I think, have physical advantages over the other two, he's not going to be ready to have people in his face, like not on his terms. You know what I mean?
The problem is Thunderdome does not honor his rider.
Right. And that's going to make him crazy.
But you don't think that would cause a murderous rage? Because that's what I think would happen, that he'd just rootin' out.
I think that the reason that he needs to be so like coddled is that he just does not have the resources to deal with interactions he's not prepared for. And so I think he's going to have a real hard time in Thunderdome. So therefore, Johnny Fever is a burnout. He's high. He's either high or he's thinking about his next high. So he's not a factor. Physically, he's not going to be able to do anything. Gabe Cotter, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I'm going to give
this
it to Gabe Cotter.
This is a crazy, like, historical reclamation of the legacy of Gabe Cotter. All right.
And you know, sidebar, like, he was real competitive on Battle of the Network Stars, we learned, too. Gabe Kaplan.
And he, in no small part, because of some Magnum shorts, if I recall correctly.
Right. So, and mustache-wise, when I was researching this list, I came across a contemporary photo of Gabe Kaplan without his mustache, and I did not care for it. So I'm going to give mustache to Gabe Cotter as well, because he looks real weird without it.
Wow. All right. Didn't see that one coming, but I'm not mad about it. Let's go to our final match of round one. We have mustache! From Law and Order, Joe Fontana.
Yes!
Fontana.
Yes. Joe Fontana, played by Joe Fontana, was like sort of a late inning substitution for Orbach, and Green, I think, was shooting Rent. So played by the great Dennis Farina. This mustache may be recycled for the Unsolved Mysteries like tweener reboot. Who can say?
Yeah.
Joe Fontana, like, famously wearing like thousands and thousands of dollars worth of suiting and tie tacks at any given time and having a just blatant Chicago accent. Oh, and I think that mustache in darker form could also be on Crime Story.
I think you're right. Played by Dennis Farina, RIP, we miss him.
Yes, we do.
And joining him in the Thunderdome is Ginsburg from Mad Men.
Ginsburg, copywriter at Sterling Cooper, blah, de blah, played by Ben Feldman, a troubled soul, shall we just say.
And our final combatant in Thunderdome today, and I do want to say, if you're anticipating Alex Trebek, let it be known that we have a list of over like 100 people, and we kind of stop adding at a certain point. So chances are there will be another mustache Thunderdome in which you will see
at
others of your favorites. But For now, we've got Nick Stokes, who briefly had a mustache on CSI in a very up and down hair season for Mr. Nick Stokes.
Yeah, he had the Justin Bieber hair that season for a while, too.
Oh, yes. God,
not good.
All right. Mm-mm. Final match of round one. Fontana, Ginsburg, Stokes. I am first. Now, Tara, just background, you were saying that the reason Nick Stokes had all the hairstyles in this year was because he was filming the Evel Knievel TV movie, I'm going to assume.
I remember that that was a thing that he did. Oh God, that actor, right. George Eads, played Evel Knievel in a TV movie because we certainly had Lisa Schmeiser, our CSI recapper on Television Without Pity, also do an extra about that offering. And I think that all of this hair stuff coincided with that.
Yeah. Ginsburg's mustache. I think it's as sad as a character. I feel like it is an apropos mustache for Ginsburg.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's there. He's trying hard to be something, but he's not quite getting there.
Well, this was at a period where everyone who didn't have mustaches before all had them. Like, again, in our doc, we have, you know, Roger Sterling mustache for a while, Ted Shaw mustache for a while. I mean, Stan, we couldn't have him in here because once he started growing facial hair, it was just all facial hair.
Yeah.
Beard. Save him for Beard Thunderdome, but yes.
Nick Stokes' mustache was embarrassing. Not only because it followed, like, the hairstyles kept on changing every two episodes before that, but it was just like, oh, you look like a little boy with a mustache. Like, it was embarrassing for everybody, including the viewer. Fighting-wise, Nick Stokes, he's not police. He is crime lab. He suffers from post-traumatic stress syndrome after Quentin Tarantino buried him in a box.
Yep.
He sure did.
He kind of became like a crybaby for a little while too. He's crying. You don't want that Thunderdome. There's no crying in Thunderdome. And I mean, I think no brainer on this one for the mat, for the physical match, is it's Joe.
Oh yeah.
Like, he's just like, he is basically a Sopranos character on Law and Order.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got that kind of hardness.
And
to
was
him.
Partnered with Chris Moltisanti for a while.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Tara?
Yeah, I agree. Poor Ginsburg. I mean, if you know how his arc ended on Mad Men, that you know his arc is not going to end well in Thunderdome either. Like, he's battling some stuff. Dave is absolutely right about Nick Stokes, that he is not a mustache guy. He honestly is only here on a technicality. He truly is, like, just overmatched.
It never looked real.
Never. It looked ridiculous.
Purposely shot real close to his face. Like, no, it's real. Like, it still doesn't look real. Zoom out, please.
No, it looked like those Halloween mustaches you put on kids. That already have adhesive built into them and they fall after 2 minutes.
Yeah, there's a photo of my niece Ellie when she was so much of a baby she was still bald, wearing a mustache that we got in, like, one of those sets from the supermarket. And she wore it better than George Eads wore this actual mustache he grew with his own cells.
And that's why he's not been invited back to CSI Vegas when it did. They're like, that guy? No way. He can't hold a mustache.
No. Mm. No. So obviously it's Joe, both fighting-wise and mustache-wise, because if I'm recalling this correctly, and admittedly, these are not seasons that I have rewatched a bunch of times, I think there was, like, some thought or implication or suspicions about Joe that he was maybe mobbed up, and that's why he had all this money for all these gorgeous suits, which means he's slippery. Whether it's true or not, if you give that impression, I think it probably carries through with your confidence in Thunderdome. So, Joe Fontana for fight and mustache.
All right, let's see if we have a consensus.
Yeah.
Sarah.
Stokes is out immediately on both counts, leaping into his fake mustache as he meets his doom. Ginsburg is unwell in a way that I think could give him, despite a size disadvantage and a, you know, occupying the same reality disadvantage, I think it just gives him an advantage. Also, this is a person who, spoiler for an old show, cut off his own nipple. Clearly, pain in the service of making a point is not an issue for old Ginsburg. But he is rather wee, that actor. And he's not a possibly mobbed up Chicago corrupt cop with a soup strainer that was also in a show about 30s corrupt cops. Like, Farina's the king, and that mustache is beautiful. And all he really has to do in Thunderdome is blind them with a diamond tie pin. but if it does come down to hand-to-hand combat and Ginsburg and Stokes don't both self-destruct, he will just take out the tie pin and be like, "You know what, tell you something." Doink. So Fontana on all counts. Agree.
All right. Round one is done. We have our nine mustache characters, mustachioed characters, moving ahead.
Mustache!
Let's get to the first match of round two. We have, from Parks and Recreation, Ron Swanson. From The Muppet Show and World War II is Waldorf. And Keith Hernandez from Seinfeld and Baseball.
Oh, man!
Brutal.
Tara, you're first.
Fuck me. Well, I feel like this is the end of the line for old Waldorf. I think he had some good luck in his first round. But
he has similar skill set as Ron Swanson, except he's much older.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say Ron is going to best Waldorf for sure. So it comes down to Ron versus Keith. My God. I think, as much as I emphasized Keith's competitive edge as an actual competitor for a living, in his first round, I think Ron has more pride. Ron is going to be seeing this more as a referendum on himself and his manliness. And I think Ron is not going to allow anything to stand in his way. Ron is going to be real ruthless. And again, libertarian, man's laws do not apply to him. So it's Ron for me, also mustache-wise.
Sir?
I think Waldorf is out. I think Waldorf is used by Ron as, like, kindling for a campfire.
Yeah.
Or pounded flat by Keith in the on-deck circle and used as the on-deck circle. I think there is an argument to be made that Swanson is younger and spryer. And now that y'all know that story about Keith climbing on his hot tub... You can't unknow it, and neither can I, but I suspect that Ron Swanson does have a weakness, which is manly former professional athletes like Keith Hernandez maybe making him a little bit starstruck, which is when he is literally struck by a 35-ounce Louisville slugger right between the eyes, knocked out and killed. I'll give him the mustache, but I think Keith advances to the next round.
Okay.
Dave? I am also in agreement that Waldorf is the first out. I'm happy you got to round two, guys.
Who isn't?
Me too.
So we got Swanson, we got Hernandez, and this is how I see it playing out. Because Thunderdome Inc. knows that Ron Swanson and Keith Hernandez are going to be in this battle, and chances are they also can foresee the future that Waldorf will be quickly dispensed with, they have festooned the Thunderdome with bats and oars. Bats for Hernandez, oars for Ron Swanson, because that's what he makes in his wood shop, makes canoes and stuff like that.
Yes.
And Hernandez immediately goes for the bats. Now, Ron Swanson, being a woodworker, he knows his woods, he knows, you know, what's harder than what. He can identify that some of the bats may not be as strong as some of the oars or whatever, but the point is, the real advantage is Hernandez goes for the bats, but Swanson goes for the oars, which have more reach. And he's able to keep Hernandez's mighty swing at bay and sort of like win the war of paddling. And I feel like even though it's going to be a close match, youth plus longer reach, which is oddly an argument we have not had today, even though it dominated our Smurf Thunderdome. But weapon reach, I think, is finally going to come into play on this one. Yeah. I'm giving Ron Swanson both a mustache and Thunderdome.
Okay.
Fair. Hey, look, Keith was only the MVP once, and even then he had to share it. So this seems like the correct outcome.
Mustache!
Match two, round two. Carl Weathers as Carl Weathers from Arrested Development, Thomas Magnum from Magnum PI, and Ron Butterfield from The West Wing.
Fuck.
Brutal.
Sarah, you're first.
Oh!
Well... Magnum has to win best mustache and does, and let's just get that out of the way right now.
Yep.
Many arguments that were made in favor of Magnum's shorts also will apply to Carl Weathers.
That's a great point.
But absolutely not to Ron Butterfield, who is encumbered by not only a suit, but various bulletproof, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the case of McDonald's ball is just waiting to happen.
it really is. So I think Butterfield is McDonald's balls early on, thanks to a, you know, impeded kicking and, you know, ball torsion. So that leaves Carl Weathers and Thomas Magnum. I just think that Carl Weathers as himself is at the end of the day an actor who is not a vet, is he?
I don't think so.
And is not, I mean, Magnum is a vet. Magnum has like all the PI skills and all the army skills and unimpeded kicking. And I think possibly I've seen Action Jackson more than once. I would have to give chest hair to Magnum also, in which Weathers and his mustache could become tangled. I don't enjoy
like human
Weathers.
Velcro.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
Before you complete your case, Sarah, I just want to tell you what I've determined from his Wikipedia page. As far as I can tell, he did not serve, but he got an athletic scholarship to high school, like to go to a private high school in New Orleans. He was an all-around athlete involved in boxing, football, gymnastics, judo, soccer, and wrestling. And he was a professional football player on both the Oakland mm-hmm. Raiders and, LOL, the BC Lions. So...
All right. Well, and the Raiders was not a waifish bunch. I mean, I had a relative on the Bills, so for what that's worth. Also, he was a kicker. So
the weakest of them all.
Yeah, but I still I'm not doubting Carl Weathers' overall fitness, but this isn't a lifetime achievement award. This is a fight to the death, and mm-hmm. I don't think he wins against Magnum, who is younger and already warmed up by the Hawaiian sun. Magnum.
All right. I absolutely agree with your Ron Butterfield assessment. And I do believe it comes down to Thomas Magnum and Carl Weathers. I feel like they're very evenly matched. Carl Weathers at the same age as Thomas Magnum would have the physical advantage, but now he's a bit older mm-hmm. and he's also the Arrested yeah. Development version of Carl Weathers. So he's a little bit off, you mm-hmm. know, like he's you know, like, I feel like in that universe, he's dirt poor. Like he's lost all his right. money and he's mm-hmm. happy to be at Burger King. Giving acting advice to this weirdo. So I feel like he's not at his peak performance. He's not the judo chopping soccer ball, kicking your head off kind of guy that he was when he was getting scholarships left and right.
Right.
But I still feel like he has more strength than Magnum even then. Like Magnum isn't really like a at the gym working out kind of guy. He is the, I got toned muscles because I swim in the ocean and look at girls' butts as they swim in my arms kind of health.
Fast twitch muscles. Yeah.
So I feel like they're pretty evenly matched right now. And I feel like they both have the wherewithal to kill when they need to. So I feel Sarah... For me, this is the first time we're evoking the Bunting Law, which is, I feel like Thunderdome-wise, we're at loggerheads here.
Okay.
So I'm giving this by virtue of the mustache to Thomas Magnum.
That is allowed. Thunderdome Inc. has sent me a telegram just now to inform me that this is permitted.
Yeah, I agree. Ron is not going to be able to... overcome his like proper training to handle these two just crazy whirling dervishes of men here. Mm-hmm. Dave makes a great point about Carl Weathers as Carl Weathers in the show, that he is sort of down on his luck. You know, he's right. he's trying to mooch bones where he can that have already been eaten, you know, for yeah. a stew, because then you got a stew going. So yeah, And Thomas Magnum, he's like you know, Indiana Jones. He doesn't need to exert himself a lot to get the job done, I feel. That's part of his like cool mystique. Mm-hmm. And so I think he's definitely going to have the jump on Carl Weathers as Carl Weathers, you know, in terms of youth and in terms of coolness and everything else, including his mustache.
All right. So that is two of our three finals down. Our last matchup is
Mustache!
Flashback Raymond Holt from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Gabe Cotter from Welcome Back Cotter somehow, And Joe Fontana, Law and Order. Wow. I am first here. I do want to say there's a wild card here because I've been keeping track. So that is our matchup. But the mustache matchup has an every, we've had 8 out of 9 mustaches be also the Thunderdome winner. Johnny Fever's mustache is also in the mix here.
Okay.
So there's 3 Thunderdomes.
Flapping around like a bird stuck in a house. Okay.
If you want, he can be part of Thunderdome too. But we've got like 3 bat. Players, 4 mustaches in play. So we've got Flashback Raymond Holt, Gabe Cotter, Joe Fontana, mustache and physical prowess and just the vision to kill and not be killed, Joe Fontana. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't really see any other way around this. He certainly dispensed with Gabe Cotter pretty quickly. I mean, God knows why Gabe Cotter actually is here. It's amazing that he's here, but he's not making it to the finals, I think, with Joe Fontana. And Flashback Raymond Holt, even though like they're both cops, you got clean as a whistle cop and dirty cop.
Yep.
Fight
maybe dirty,
dirty win.
Cop. Not established.
Right.
Possibly dirty cop.
So, and I think Joe Fontana also has the mightiest mustache. It's hard to beat Dennis Farina's mustache, even though Flashback Raymond Holt has a very retro cool mustache. It is certainly doesn't have the heft and gravitas of Joe's mustache. So I'm going mustache and winner to Joe, and it even beats Johnny Fever's mustache.
I agree. As tough as it is to teach public school in the 70s in New York, a public school teacher in New York is not tougher than 2 New York City police officers, probably. So I'm going to discount Gabe and his mustache. And Dave is right. If the possibly slippery Joe Fontana is definitely going to pull more shit than the pillar of rectitude that is Raymond Holt of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So Fontana for the win, fight-wise and mustache-wise.
So,
agreed on all counts. Fontana's mustache, the clear victor, paired as it is with a $5,000 camel coat and accessorized with an all-diamond Chanel fly swatter, which is what he uses to kill Johnny Fever's mustache when it flaps by. Yeah, I just think he's going to be willing to fight dirtier and has like garroting tricks that the others don't. And Gabe Cotter is just a foot too short for this fight and is out immediately. Fontana.
Mustache!
Okay, we have our finalists and it is a fucking match. For both Thunderdome and Mustache, we have Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec, Thomas Magnum from Magnum PI, and Joe Fontana from Law and Order. 3 burly specimens, 3 mighty mustaches.
Yep.
Tara, you are first.
Oh, man. See?
So sorry.
Here's the thing. I think 2 of these are characters who, when you say, we're doing a Thunderdome about TV mustaches, 2 of these are people that are going to be top of mind for most of the listeners that you poll, and those are Ron Swanson and Thomas Magnum. I love Joe Fontana. I feel I've made that clear through all his other rounds. But in terms of just, you know, mustache infamy, I don't think he's on that level. Now, so his mustache is out. In terms of the fight, my God. This is really hard. I have to.
Are you crying? There's no crying in Mustache Dome.
Boy, I have to think it's going to be Magnum. And the reason is a PI can do all the shady shit that a cop can do, but even more so because there's less oversight. So I think Thomas Magnum, in addition to being a PI plus a combat veteran, I think he's got to win, and especially mustache wise. Like Ron is not a factor in this, I don't think. Like he's not a player on the level of these other 2 guys. He is not in a violence career the way the other 2 are. So I think if it's Fontana versus Magnum, Magnum for the win in the fight, and Magnum, as it always had to be, I feel, for the mustache win.
Swanson, Magnum, Fontana, Sarah.
See previous comments, Ray, the mustache. Magnum is the winner here. Fontana's is impressive. Swanson's is also impressive, but we're talking about iconography here. And so that's Magnum in this round. I think Swanson is eliminated from any fight fairly early because these would be his idols in terms of masculinity. And he would have just sort of like an emotional boner that took all the emotional blood out of his body and sent it to his emotional crotch. This metaphor does not work, but we've been recording for a while. Just go with it. So I think he's capable and wily, but I think he's also kind of short and stocky, and the other two are like can best him. Mm-hmm. So now it is Magnum, combat veteran, wearer of intelligent fighting shorts, PI, many capabilities, versus Fontana, who just sort of acts like he's a PI and doesn't care that he's constrained by cop shit because he's a cop and they don't care about being constrained by shit.
Sure.
But he is also encumbered by expensive clothing.
that I beautiful think, coat.
His curls are weighed down by some product, perhaps. You know, all that cash is heavy. We all saw The Last Seduction. We know. But I think he's also used to these encumbrances and can, if necessary, fight through them. So who prevails? It depends. Is Thunderdome a just universe? Or does Thunderdome only respect nature red in tooth and claw?
Is this the Sarah that complained about the cartoon argument earlier?
Shut up, Dave.
That I think was it's hours fun. Ago.
I know. You did this. I think it's Fontana because I think Fontana is a little bit bigger, a little bit meaner, and a little more steeped in dishonorable behavior and cheerfully embracing it for his own ends than Magnum.
Okay, so agreed on Magnum for the mustache, but split between Magnum and Fontana for the Thunderdome victory. All right, here is my take on it. Remember back when Thunderdome was like, theme fighters, hooray, hooray, let's put oars and baseball bats up. They did the same thing because, hey, Ron Swanson's back. But here's the thing. Even though Ron Swanson can beat Joe Fontana in a oar poking match,
right,
guess who else uses oars all the time for his ocean kayaking? It's Magnum PI, yeah. Even match. Oh, so boy, in my scenario, it is Ron Swanson versus Magnum for the battle of the actual Thunderdome.
How do you know Fontana doesn't go out on Lake Superior
he
and row?
He doesn't. He can't he get doesn't. Those clothes wet.
I feel like if he got wet, like it's that super shiny stuff that water doesn't, like it's like hydrophobic suits almost, yeah, you know, like yeah. He just rises out yeah. And there's just like he's totally dry somehow.
But he'd be super mad and beat you to death for fucking with his yeah. Vicuña. Yeah,
but he doesn't have to worry about any water related anger empowerments here in the Australian outback in Thunderdome. So he's not going to be able to get that I'm wet, not wet rage going on to help him overcome the odds. So Ron Swanson versus Magnum PI. I feel like we've said it before, but Magnum is a combat veteran. He's got the will to eliminate someone when he needs to. Ron Swanson is worried about the buffet and deviled eggs, and he had meat tornado and all that kind of stuff. So I figure when it comes down to it, Magnum is more focused than Ron Swanson, even though they have access to the same weapons. So I feel like when it just comes down to two relatively fit people, although Thomas Magnum is more fit and younger at this time, I feel like the eye of the tiger argument in this scenario will go to Thomas Magnum, as does the mustache. So everything in the universe is as it should be. So at the end of our first ? Mustache Thunderdome, it is at the top from Magnum PI, Thomas Magnum.
Brand brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.